We shall now read from the Gospel of according to Matthew, chapter 4. Matthew, chapter 4. Then was Jesus led up of the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil. And when he had fasted 40 days and 40 nights, he was afterward an hungered. And when the tempter came to him, he said, If thou be the Son of God, command that these stones be made bread. But he answered and said, It is written, Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. Then the devil taketh him up into the holy city, and setteth him on a pinnacle of the temple, and saith unto him, If thou be the Son of God, cast thyself down. For it is written, He shall give his angels charge concerning thee, and in their hands they shall bear thee up, lest at any time thou dash thy foot against a stone. Jesus said unto him, It is written again, Thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. Again the devil taketh him up into an exceeding high mountain, and showeth him all the kingdoms of the world, and the glory of them, and saith unto him, All these things will I give thee, if thou wilt fall down and worship me. Then saith Jesus unto him, Get thee hence, Satan, for it is written, Thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve. Then the devil leaveth him, and behold, angels came and ministered unto him. Now when Jesus had heard that John was cast into prison, he departed into Galilee, and leaving Nazareth, he came and dwelt in Capernaum, which is upon the sea coast, in the borders of Zebulun and Naphtali, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by Isaiah the prophet, saying, The land of Zebulun and the land of Naphtali, by the way of the sea, beyond Jordan, Galilee of the Gentiles, the people which sat in darkness saw great light, and to them which sat in the region and shadow of death, light is sprung up. From that time Jesus began to preach and to say, Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. And Jesus, walking by the sea of Galilee, saw two brethren, Simon, called Peter, and Andrew his brother, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishers. And he saith unto them, Follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. And they straightway left their nets and followed him. And going on from thence, he saw other two brethren, James, the son of Zebedee, and John his brother, in a ship with Zebedee their father, mending their nets. And he called them. And they immediately left the ship and their father and followed him. And Jesus went about all Galilee, teaching in their synagogues, and preaching the gospel of the kingdom, and healing all manner of sickness and all manner of disease among the people. And his fame went throughout all Syria. And they brought unto him all sick people that were taken with divers diseases and torments, and those which were possessed with devils, and those which were lunatic, and those that had the palsy, and he healed them. And there followed him great multitudes of people from Galilee and from Decapolis and from Jerusalem and from Judea and from beyond Jordan. So far the readings.
Congregation, a few years ago, I asked at catechism classes by the young people, How much are you worth? How much worth are you? Well, the young friend raised his arm and he said, We are worth nothing. Absolutely nothing. We are hell worthy. And I was quiet and I looked at the young friends and said, You are worth nothing. Why are we here? Why do I bother? Just go home then. Just be lost then. Who cares if you're worth nothing? And someone else raised his arm and he said, You have a soul. You have a precious soul. As someone else said, we were created in God's image. As someone else said, we have a destiny, we're going somewhere. I said, yes. You are worth millions and millions. I can't express it. A soul for eternity. Does it weigh, young friends, older ones, elderly, how much worth they are? Do you care for your own precious soul for eternity? Well, the Lord Jesus, he was convinced of that, and he saw people, he looked at them, and he saw them, was filled with compassion, and he saw the multitude, and he saw the presence of souls. And he also saw a few of his disciples, and he looked at them, and he said, I will make you fishers of men. And that's the text for this morning. Matthew 4, verse 19. And he, that is the Lord Jesus, saith unto them, that's Peter and Andrew, follow me. That's the first thing, follow me. And I will make you, what a wonder, you, fishers of men. The theme for this morning, fishers of men. Three thoughts. In the first place, precious fish. You know what's meant by that, right? Fishers of men. Precious fish. Secondly, sought after fish, because they have to fish and put effort into it. They must be fishers of men. Use the net. And we'll see what else that all entails. And in the third place, caught fish. They will catch fish. For sure, I will make you fishers of men. You won't only fish, you will catch fish. So fishers of men, precious fish, sought after fish, and caught fish. You see it happening? The Lord Jesus walking, just casually, seemingly casually, walking on the shore of the Lake of Galilee in the northern part of Israel. And Jesus walking by the Sea of Galilee. But oh, he had something in mind. It was all planned. It was not so casual as you thought it would be. And Jesus, walking by the Sea of Galilee, saw, yes, there they are. He saw two brethren, Simon, called Peter, and his brother Andrew. And they were casting a net into the sea. So they were standing on the shore, a special casting net. I don't know exactly how they work, but you know, you cast it over a school of fish, and the net kind of falls over them, and you draw a cord underneath there, and you have the fish. So you have three ways of fishing. You had casting nets and drawing nets, and also people use sometimes also catch fish with a hook, with a rod. Here they were using casting nets. And the Lord Jesus saw them and looked at them, and said to them what he had planned to say from eternity. He says, in very detail planned by the Lord. And he said unto them, follow me. Follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. Well, did they know of the Lord? What had they heard already before? But now they hear it at least. Follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. No doubt about it. I will make you. We will go over the details, but let me just ask your attention for this already. And they straightway left their nets and followed him. And the Lord Jesus, going on from thence, saw other two brethren, James, the son of Zebedee, and John, his brother, in a ship, with Zebedee, their father, mending their nets, and he called them, and they immediately left the ship and their father, and followed him. So, straightway, immediately, what was something in that voice? There's a hidden power in there. Something you could not resist anymore. The following was so powerful, so sweet, there was such a secret strength in there. They had no choice? I wouldn't say that. They were made willing to follow by the voice of God. Something happened to them. It was not that they say, oh, well, yeah, good thought. Let us follow him. They were made willing to follow. Follow me. And straightway, there was the Holy Spirit. So the same way as the Lord converts people, so he also calls people. There's something similar to that. When the Lord says, follow me personally, to a young person, to an older one, repent ye, and it is applied to by the Spirit, then something happens to you. You're made willing and drawn by the Lord. And so also when the Lord calls to an office, to be a disciple, to be a pastor, to be an elder, to be a deacon, to be a missionary, to be an evangelist. There's something in there that you say, I have to. I can't say no. I must submit. I must surrender. I must follow. I just would feel so uncomfortable not following him. I would have no rest for my soul anymore. I just have to accept this. And straightway and immediately. And they were catching fish. Why were they catching fish? Well, it was their job. Their fathers were also fishermen. That's how it often goes. Your father is a farmer, you're a farmer. Your father a teacher, maybe you're a teacher. Often it goes that way. And your father a fisherman, you become a fisherman. That's very logical. But also, in order to have income, to make money. And they like to fish successfully. And they like to load their ships full with fish and just sell it on the market or going to the factory. There were some fish pickle factories in that time. So the more fish, the better. And you should have seen those smiles on the face when they caught lots of fish and the nets were almost bursting and they had to call other ships to help them to fill their boats with fish. They loved it. Because the more the better. Fish means income, means something to eat. Means certain happiness. Precious fish. Although that fish was killed and filleted and processed and eaten, that fish was precious. But congregation, you know how much more precious this is. I will make you fishers of men. Fishers of people, of children, of older ones, of humans called by the almighty power of the Lord. Now, you would say, how precious are they? And maybe you say, well, in your introduction you said that they are worth nothing and yet precious. I don't understand it. Let me try to help you with that. You're right. We are, by nature, children of wrath. And by nature, under the curse. and condemned people. And in a way, the Lord is frowning upon all men, because we have sinned against His law and offended Him deeply. And the Lord must take that seriously, right? So children of wrath, distance, not forgiven. We are by nature not forgiven by nature for our own account. As I said yesterday to the young people, in my closing statements, all your sins have been forgiven you. Or not one sin has been forgiven. How is it with you? Have all your sins been washed away and been blotted and cleansed by the Lord, blotted out? So there's no sin left? Or do you still have all your sins on your back? There's nothing in between. There's nothing in between. I wish you could go home with that, you unconverted friends, you see. Not even one sin has been forgiven me yet. And that would weigh upon your shoulders and upon your heart. You feel kind of a child of wrath. Not forgiven yet. And yet at the same time, although we are by nature children of wrath, there is something double in the Bible. Or, that's not the right word, double. It's not the complete picture. I read of that rich young ruler of the synagogue, that he followed the Lord Jesus, and that he was asking the Lord Jesus how to inherit the kingdom of God. And the Lord Jesus was asking him if he had kept all the commandments. And he said, yes, from my youth on. And it says, and the Lord Jesus loved him. He was a Pharisee. He was unconverted. He left. He was not interested. It was too much to let everything go. But the Lord Jesus loved him. And I looked at the word love in that place in the Greek. And it says agapao. And that's the deepest word of love I can find in the Bible. That same word is used for the Apostle Peter. Lovest thou me? Lovest thou me with that deep love? That word is used. So the Lord Jesus loved that Pharisee, and he was yet a child of wrath. And I'm sure it's also true for you, even if you are not converted, for your own account. Child of wrath. But yet, also under the goodness of God, also similar like that rich young ruler, that the Lord appreciates, that the Lord has compassion with the multitude, right? Precious soul. So that's why the Lord is so long suffering. Does that mean? Could you answer that question, young friend? What is long suffering? It takes a long time before the Lord is executing His wrath. He is wrathful. He must punish him. He can wait. He can refrain himself. He can hold himself back. And that's God's love. It's the love of God to not do what He should do yet. And to let people live a little longer and give them some more time to sit in church and to pray and to read the Bible. That's the love of God, that's the goodness of God for people who are children of wrath. See? Children of wrath under the goodness of God. Of course, it's true that the Lord especially loves, and in a special way loves, his elect. Who would deny that? But yet the Lord also comes to us with his word. Then Jesus, beholding him, loved him, and said unto him, one thing thou lackest, go thy way, sell whatever thou hast, give to the poor, thou shalt have treasure in heaven, and come, take up the cross, follow me. For the Lord Jesus said to the rich young ruler, follow me. He loved him. So quite a few people don't care about others. I was reading about the Second World War, about concentration camps. Horrible. The abuse, the criminality over there. Just how is it possible that people have fallen so deep that they can hurt each other so tremendously and kill each other? And I was reading about it, I thought, what a horrible thing. And then the way, also in the Second World War, they thought of handicapped people and gypsies and the Jews and how many millions have been killed. I was also thinking of how many abortions take place also today. How many are abused and mistreated. But you know, that's the body. About the soul. Maybe you are abusing your own soul. Maybe you don't love your soul yet. Maybe you don't love the soul of your children. Do you see the preciousness of the souls of people? If you do not care for your soul, if you only care for the money and the business and the health and your marriage and the children and they do well, only the visible side of the reality. If you don't care for your soul, then you don't care for the soul of your beloved ones either. That's abuse as well, if you just don't care for your soul. So we deserve death. We deserve hell. At the same time, we are worth millions of dollars. And that's why the Apostle Paul said, you remember that in Romans 9? I say the truth in Christ, and I lie not, in case you would think so. I lie not. My conscience also bear me witness by the Holy Ghost that I have a great heaviness. Something bothers me. A great heaviness and a continual sorrow in my heart. Why? What does the apostle mean? Why does he say, well, people, I'm going to say something you would think that I'm exaggerating. I'm not exaggerating. I say the truth. I do not lie. And the Holy Spirit knows and gives witness in my heart that is that I have a great heaviness and a continual sorrow in my heart, for I wish that myself were accursed from Christ for my brethren, my kinsmen, according to the flesh. He cared for his fellow people, for the Jewish people. Do you care? Do I? Do I care for people? Do you care for people? That's part of the calling. The Lord lays that burden on you. To become an elder, a pastor, a deacon, evangelist. That heaviness, that burden, that sorrow in my heart. I must talk to them. I must warn them. They have a soul for eternity. God's honor and glory is at stake. Let him know. I read in James 5, that he which converteth the sinner from the error of his way shall save a soul from death, and shall hide a multitude of sins, shall save a soul from death. I was talking to Mrs. Kuyt. She's been here in the past many times. The older people may know that. She lives in Chilliwack. She is, by the way, not doing too well, paralyzed on one side. And we are talking about all the works they did in Iranjaya among the Yalis. And I won't say that the church in Iranjaya is doing so well. I don't think it's not doing well. I have deep concerns about how they develop and the doctrine and all the things. Mrs. Kuyt said, even if it would be only for one soul, all those years, all the effort, all the money, all the sacrifices, also their family, if it would only be for one soul, that's what she said. That soul, that one soul needs to be so precious, it is precious. And they that be wise shall shine as the brightest of the firmament, and they that turn many, they that are used for that reason to turn many to righteousness will shine as the stars forever and ever. And that's why the Lord Jesus said, follow me and I will make you fishers of men. Precious fish. But do not forget this. That fish, that precious fish is unwilling. Has no willingness to be caught. That's our animosity. Ye always resist the Holy Ghost as your fathers also ye. So we are blind for this. We say to the minister, you're right. You're absolutely right. We have a soul for eternity. We should care about that. And we blink and we think about it for a moment, and you read a book, and you just continue the same way as we used to. That death in sin. We prefer so many things over the Lord and His service. What is it in your life? Farming, family, children, fishing, hunting, you name it. That's so much more fun and interesting than serving the Lord. Hundreds of things. It's like fish. Fish loves the water. Fish does not want to be caught. They'll do its utmost to escape. You know, you see the fishermen casting the fish, the net in the water, and you see all those fish shooting away. That's us. That's you. That's me. By nature, you are like that. We love the water of sin and world. And a wonder needs to happen in order to make fish willing to be caught. That is so against our nature and against the nature of fish to say, catch me please. Let me bite into that hook. Just make sure you have me in the net. That's so against the nature of fish. And so against the nature of people. And yet, the Lord said to those disciples, follow me and I will make you fishers of men. So our second thought. Sought after fish. See those fishermen busy? See them toiling? See them at night in the ship in the dark? They do anything to catch fish because there needs to be bread on the plate. They need to eat. They need to continue with life. They can't just sit back. And the Lord said, follow me and I will make you fishes of men. So they were fishing fish. And it was hard work. Now when the Lord makes fishes of men today, and you do a visit, and you are on the pulpit, and you just go to the hospital and you visit, how does that work? How do fishers today, fishermen today, fish? Well, what do the elders and the deacons and the evangelists do? What net are they using? Well, a lot could be said about this. We can only summarize it. Let me say this in the first place, to be absolutely honest with you, and to let you realize what's at stake, and that we have sinned against God, and are under the wrath, and are not saved by nature. And that the Lord Jesus, although his sacrifice is sufficient, that he cannot say he died for you, you're fine. No. How did the Lord catch Adam in the net? When he had sinned against the Lord together with Eve. That's the first thing the Lord said. Where art thou? I want to talk to you. I'm going to talk to you. Where are you? And that's what's on my heart today. And that's what's on the heart of fishermen. Where are you? What are you doing? What's your state for eternity? Are you saved? Are you still, for your own account? Are you still... Is there still that distance between you and God? Is there still that gulf between you and your God and your soul? Realize that. Therefore, let all the house of Israel know assuredly that God has made the same Jesus whom ye have crucified, both Lord and Christ. What did he say? What did Peter say? Whom ye have crucified. He was confrontational. He was blunt. He just spoke honestly. He said, what happened? You have sinned. Let me say this morning, something you already know. Nothing new. Absolutely nothing new. But the Lord can make it new. That's my heartfelt wish. That Lord will make it new. You, I include myself and I say you. You have sinned against all my commandments. All of them. You haven't kept one. You're prone to all evil. You turned away from me. You're in your sins by nature. You're going to hell. It's not going well when you die, you're dead that this way, you're not saved. It's not going well at all. Maybe you just close your eyes and people say, he fell asleep, he went so quietly, but you will experience it in a different way. For your own account. Or think of Luke 19, I just don't want to focus on that by itself, but as a part of the sermon. But those mine enemies, are you still one of them? But those mine enemies which would not, were not willing, that I should reign over them, bring hither and slay them before me. It's going to happen. It's going to happen if you're not saved. And I need to tell you this, that you have only one life. When you fail in class, in university, in college, well, that's not nice. You can do a few courses next year again. You just do it over. Maybe the whole year. Well, the whole year over then. You have only one life. You can only die once. Nobody else has experienced death. You can only die once, and after that, judgment. What am I doing now? Trying to catch fish. Because I have to preach the law. Not only the gospel, also the law. But then, what do we read in Acts of the Apostles? They were pricked in the heart, right? And that's what happened. He was fishing. He had followed the Lord Jesus. He was fishing by just bringing the truth about sin and guilt and unbelief. But they're also fishing by preaching the gospel, of course, right? The gospel. I think of Acts 10:36, the word is God sent unto the children of Israel. The word of God sent unto the children of Israel, preaching peace by Jesus Christ. It's my privilege this morning to preach to all of you peace in Jesus Christ. Although we are unworthy of life, have sinned against God, and are going to hell if nothing else happens, I'm preaching peace to you. Offering peace, pointing to that peace, letting you know there is peace. There is a Savior. You are so foolish if you don't flee and don't seek Him. There is a possibility of being saved. And I see those disciples going after the fish at night. Let's go throw the net on this side. Let's throw the net on that side. Let's go to that corner of the lake. Let's do it at a different time of the day. They did anything. And so we are called to do anything. To catch fish in the net, right? A continual sorrow. A heaviness on the heart. Preaching the law. And preaching the gospel. Because the Lord calls us. You probably use a daily meditation book or so. Or something at night maybe, or in the morning. May I make a recommendation? To also use the canons of the Lord in the back of the Psalter book as your daily meditation book. Maybe in the morning or in the afternoon or at night. Whatever it is. And that's so scriptural. So biblical. So balanced with all text mentioning it and supporting it. Beautiful. You know, you talk about to persevere together in the apostles' doctrine, right? Not only by yourself, but using the help of others and our forefathers by reading the Bible together, not just as an individual, together reading the Bible. And you will see it. That the Lord does not only call us through nature, but He also calls us through Scripture, that He calls us unfeignedly. It's an old word, at least in Canada it is. Do you understand the word unfeigned? There's no feigning in there. Let me just modernize it. There's no fakeness in there. It's not fake. It's genuine. Genuinely, He calls. I would like to extend the invitation of the gospel genuinely because of my master told me to. Invite those people in my name and say, I pray you in Christ's stead, be ye reconciled with God. So the Lord does not only say, just in case you want to, in case you may be interested. No, the Lord is saying, beseech them in my stead for my case, and put a fire at their feet and just compel them to come in. There'll be something. If you have been raised and have heard the gospel so many times, and if you're not saved, there'll be something. The Lord will remind you of that and say, you knew it. You were invited. You were prayed in my stead. Be reconciled to God. And now go out of my eyes. I don't want to see you anymore. Slay them at my feet. Right? The deepest place of hell are reserved for those like us that knew the gospel, knew the truth, and yet not interested. It will be more tolerable for Sodom and Gomorrah than for us. It will be easier on them than on us. But you know, the Lord does not only let me preach the gospel, let me throw the net of the law and of the gospel. There's another piece that's also important. To just explain from the Bible, from Acts of the Apostles, as we did in the last couple of weeks, or from the Psalms, how that poor sinner comes to a rich Christ. To just let you, to explain to you what faith is. What is believing? I tried to explain that a little bit yesterday evening to the young people. What is it? We talk about believing, but what is it? This for the children. My mother told me that her mother promised her a bike for her birthday. A very poor people. It was kind of jokingly, I suppose. My mom was very disappointed when her birthday came. She got a bike cut out from the newspaper. It's a bike. My mom almost cried. I don't think this was the best way of raising a child of my oma. But you know, nevertheless, as an example, it's a bike, right? On the picture? So we may not be confused about what believing is. We also need to know, what is it now? What does it entail? How does that feel? Not to put up barriers, but to just catch people in the net. That you won't deceive yourself. That's why the Lord Jesus taught so many times in many of the parables about what's right, what's saving, what's common, what's necessary. Because what one thing, when the Lord saves a person, he will be most glorified. Right? And we will be abased to the lowest. You want that? Do you want to have the lowest, lowest place with your nose in the dust? You want that? I tell you, it's the most precious place. It's a sweet place. If I feel the Lord should just sweep me into hell. And he does not do it. He says, peace to you. Can believe it. It humbles me. It lets me cry. Then I have those experiences over and again. That God is exalted to the highest. And I'm abased to the lowest. That's throughout whole scripture. So that's how the Lord saves his people. That he receives all the glory, all the honor, and we have nothing. And I don't need anything either. I don't need any credit for that. Let me ask you a question. Do you know that? Did the Lord empty you from all your self-righteousnesses? And it becomes the biggest wonder ever if you could be saved. And did the Lord surprise you in His word through the gospel? That yes, not only for us, but also for you. You say, Lord, I can't believe it. Is this not a mistake for me? For me? And the Lord saying, yes, for you. Oh, God. It's how the Lord works. So that's why fishermen are after the fish. And the Lord has said, and I will make you fisher of men. Fish caught in the net. You know, I will make you fishers of men. Who is talking? The Lord Jesus. And He said, I think that's the most beautiful word, most important word in the whole verse. Follow me, I. The Lord Jesus speaking to His disciples. Not you. You're not going to make yourself a fisher of men. Don't think that ever. Don't think you can catch any fish yourself. I have to learn that time and again. And it's a humbling experience time and again. This morning again, I thought, I can't preach. I just can't. I'm not able to. Where's my love? Where's my concern for souls? You go on house visitation. I have nothing. You teach catechism classes. They're so empty. So incapable. But the Lord says, I will make you. It's the Lord's work. And therefore, office bearers and parents, and in a way, all of us, we need to hear this. Follow me. Depend upon me, seek it all in me, also this blessing, because I will make you. I can even use you. Yes, I can use you. Me, yes, you. Lord, who is sufficient? I'm unfit, I'm undone, I'm not capable. I know. Lord says, I will make you. You know, that's an important text for me. And the Lord called me to the ministry. Because I felt kind of, how can I? And the Lord answered me by saying, I will make you. I will make you. I don't have to preach a beautiful sermon. My flesh likes to. I like honor. I like glory. But it doesn't give peace, right? But the Lord can use even poor servants to His glory. He said, I will make you fisher of men. And the Lord can use a crooked stick to give the right hit. And so the Lord can use clay in His hands to put it on the eyes of someone who's blind to make him see. And so the Lord can use people in His service. I will make you. That's sure that I will make you, because you know what I see behind here? I see behind here the precious doctrine of election. Now, I know election can be misused, and too many people are misusing it and hiding behind it. If I'm not chosen, I sit back. The Lord can only do it, and I don't have to do anything. I know the misuse of it, but it's also precious. What's it? I have a people, and I will reach out to them, and they will be saved. No matter what. Because the Lord Jesus paid the price not only to make salvation available, But he paid such the price that he paid for the unbelief and the unwillingness of the elect. And they will be saved. And I don't know who the elect are, and I don't need to know either. I have to just preach the word. Just preach the word of God. The gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. But nevertheless, it's a comfort that the Lord says, I won't miss anyone in heaven. The Lord won't miss anyone. They will all be there. As thou hast given him power over all flesh, that he should give eternal life to as many as thou hast given him. God the Father has given the church to his Son and given him power according as he has chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love. It is going to happen. And in case you struggle with that, in case you struggle with the whole piece of election, and I see I don't have much time left, you should read on page 100 of the back of the Psalter book, Article 16. I will only read the beginning sentences. Those who do not yet experience lively faith in Christ and assured confidence of the soul and peace of the conscience, etc., and do nevertheless persist in the use of the means which God has appointed, ought not to be alarmed when they hear about reprobation. You read the rest for yourself. That's page 100, the first head of doctrine of the Canons of the Lord, Article 16. But for me, it's a comfort. Because when I preach to you or to my own congregation, I have a feeling kind of, it's not going to work. If it depends on my young people, on you young people, if it depends upon you, it's not going to work. Nothing will happen. Ever. I just can't convince people. I can't get into the heart. But the Lord says, sit back. Just sow the seed. It will happen. I will make you fishers of men to the glory of my name and to the salvation of sinners. Amen.